If at first, there's always a second chance.
That's the voice of a famous personality who has experienced a second chance in life. And I'm about to challenge someone somewhere in the United States to identify that mystery voice for $700 in cash and prizes. Also, you'll hear real people revealing the dramatic details of their lives on this, the transcribed Second Chance program.
Hello, everybody. This is Fibber McGee.
And Molly.
We've just heard about an effective way that plain everyday Americans like us can fight communism.
You mean I can fight communism, too? How?
How, Doc? By giving a truth dollar to Radio Free Europe. Your truth dollars pay for 100 words of truth on Radio Free Europe. Beam them right through the Iron Curtain to 70 million freedom-hungry people trapped there by the communists.
Radio Free Europe's broadcasts help these people resist communism by uncovering Soviet traitors in their countries, by giving them plain, honest news they can't get from their own commie-controlled press and radio.
You might say Radio Free Europe is keeping the truth turned on.
Well, you can count me in, kids. Who do I give my truth dollars to?
You send them to Crusade for Freedom, care of your local postmaster.
And folks, you can fight communism, too, by sending truth dollars to support Radio Free Europe.
Send one today to Crusade for Freedom, care of your postmaster.
Well, hi there, everybody. This is Johnny Olson welcoming you to Second Chance, the program that brings you real people telling their own stories and proving that if at first you don't succeed, there's always a second chance. And please don't forget our famous mystery voice, also experienced a dramatic second chance in life. I'll be calling one of you home listeners later on in the show to see if you can identify this famous second chancer's voice.
She stands erect both day and night. A clue to help you find my light.
Now, if you sent me your phone number on a postcard, I might be ringing your telephone to find out if you can identify that mystery voice for a jackpot now worth over $700 in cash and prizes. But right now, it's time for our first story on today's Second Chance program. You know, before our broadcast each day, I generally like to talk to the people here in our studio audience in New York, sort of a get-acquainted time, you know. We in the business call it a warm-up. Well, yesterday we got to talking about something that I think all of you at home will want to be in on. Fortunately, we got most of the talk on tape so that you can hear it right now. Incidentally, you'll get a glimpse of backstage radio, too, because if you listen closely at the beginning, you'll hear a young man by the name of Bob Maurer, who's our producer, talking to the studio audience. This was about, I guess about 10 minutes before actual broadcast time, and of course, me, too. So, Danny Sutter, if you'll have the fellas roll the tape, let's give a listen, shall we?
Hello, you've met him many times before on radio and on television. Now meet him in person, Johnny Olson.
Thank you very much. This is Bob Maurer, our producer-director. Let's give Bob a nice hand today. He's working so hard on the show. I was a little bit delayed getting out because I always like to get a copy of the paper before I do the program to sort of keep up to date on topical things that are taking place. Did you notice today's headline where it says, Hildy's foster parents get new hope, judge hits adoption law as biased? And I wonder how many of you people are familiar with this story that's going on up in Boston of the foster parent situation up there. Well, this is a story that's created nationwide attention. It's the story of, I might give all the facts for some of you other folks who are here who probably haven't had a chance to get caught up in your reading lately. You've been traveling around the country. The story of a little four-year-old girl by the name of Hildy McCoy, and Hildy's foster parents are Mr. and Mrs. Melvin Ellis. And the Ellises have raised this girl as their own since she was actually ten days old. And now it seems that the Mrs. Marjorie McCoy Doherty is trying to regain control of Hildy through a Massachusetts state law which states that children should be adopted by families of the same faith when practicable. Now, the Ellises are Jewish, and Mrs. Doherty is Catholic, and to live up to the law, the Ellises have promised to raise Hildy as a Catholic. Now, Hildy's natural mother wants the child placed with the Catholic Charitable Bureau. It's an organization which, in turn, will place her in an institution and place her up for adoption into a Catholic family. She does not intend to raise the child herself. That is not her intention in this. A court order has demanded that the Ellises turn Hildy over to the proper authorities They refuse to do so. I think Mr. Ellis has stated that he'd rather go to jail than to give up the child for whom they have given so much and have had so much love and affection during the past 4 years. How do you feel about this, sir?
I think that the Ellis should have the child as they have brought up the child since 10 months of age, and they should have the child 10 days old. They should have the child.
You feel they should have the child?
They should have the child.
All right. Anyone here who feels that they should not have, that the mother should regain control of the child? There are several hands here. This young lady here.
Well, Johnny, I feel that mother has brought this child into the world, and she wants what's best for her child. And if she feels that she's a Catholic, and she wants her baby to be brought up Catholic, after all, these people aren't even of her faith. She doesn't know them. She at least wants people of her own faith to bring her child up. It's hers.
You feel that she is entitled to have the child back, placed in an institution, and given out for adoption to a Catholic family. Is that right?
Well, if
Raise her as a Catholic.
What is that?
She has promised. They have promised to raise her as a Catholic.
The Ellises have promised to raise the daughter.
There should be no religious interference in that particular case anyway. I feel very strongly. I come from Massachusetts, and we are very upset about it. I sincerely mean that because I feel that it isn't the fact that you give birth to a child. Let's get that understood. It is what you do for the child from the time it is born, not just by mouth, it's by deed.
You feel that the welfare of the child... You feel that the welfare of the child is at stake here rather than the law itself?
If this mother chooses to bring up the child herself, I can see that possibly there may be a little remorse, but she has no intention of bringing it up herself.
That's what she has stated.
She has stated that she wishes to place it at a Catholic institution, and in my way of thinking, an institution is no place for any child, especially where there is love to be had.
The child is not going to stay in an institution at all.
But she will be shuttled back and forth. And I know.
A child is going to be placed in an institution to be placed into a Catholic home where she will be brought up as a Catholic and not
going
as
to
a
bring
Jew.
Up it as a Catholic.
How can a Jewish family bring up a child as a Catholic?
Definitely.
They don't know the Catholic religion.
I was brought up by a Protestant family, and I am a Protestant myself. But prior to that, my family was Catholic.
You feel that adoption should not be a religious issue?
No, definitely not. It should be the best welfare of the child.
All right, let's get some more comments on this now, pro and cons. Here's a gentleman over here who has his hand up. How do you feel about this? Do you think that the law stating that children should be adopted by a family of the same faith whenever practicable is a just law in this particular case?
It couldn't be just. What is going to take the place of 4 years of the love that these people have put in bringing up this child? The argument that that some bureau should take the child's welfare over now wasn't thought of when it was 10 days old. And these people came forward and took that baby into their heart, and undoubtedly, you can judge by the extremes that they're going to now, you can see that what a strong tie they have to that child.
The child, then, you feel should come first. Consideration for the child should be first and should remain with the Ellison. Thank you very much. Here's a lady over here. How do you feel about this issue that's got everybody talking from coast to coast?
Well, Johnny, I feel like this, that the child should be for the child's welfare, because I myself, when I was 6 months old, was adopted. And my life has been ups and downs. And if it wasn't for the people who adopted me, I'm afraid I might not have had the chance to have good education.
Were you adopted into a family of the same faith?
Yes.
You were adopted into the same faith. How would you feel as a parent of a child who was fostered, brought into another home of different faith, as this mother must feel?
Well, I felt very funny because, after all, my parents were Methodists.
But how would you feel if this had happened to you, if this was your daughter that was placed in this foster home? Would you want your child back?
I would be a mother to consider that for the best welfare of my child.
All right, thank you. And yes?
I think you're all forgetting one very important thing, and that is the mother in this case. She's a human being, too, just like you are. You want your children brought up in your own religion. How would you feel if suddenly your child was transplanted into a home of another faith?
How can someone bring up a child
of
another
faith?
Of course
you can. You teach a child the love of the Lord, and that is all that's necessary. As far as religion is concerned, if you have a human kindness in you, you have everything. Believe me, I teach my children to love the Lord, not to fear him. I teach them this. Give a little, take a little. They are there, they can vouch for it. Let's not get on a tangent.
No, you're
not. This is not a question of religion at all. This is a question of a stubborn mother who erred, which is human, and she ought to be able to forgive, because she ought to, from the love of her heart, if she had any kindness for this child, sincerely, I mean this, she should be able to give this child to the people who have done the very most for her in her formative years. And then later on, if this child, during the interim, she can always go back to her mother. She can always find out where she is. Remember this. But right now, this couple can give her the security, the love of life, the love of human people that she cannot get being tossed from pillar to post. I will reiterate, that is a true statement.
Do you realize that when a mother gives up her baby...
She gave it up a long time ago. The mere fact that she bore this child does not make her a mother. Believe me, I know that.
It makes her a mother to the point that she wants to know that what's right for this child is going to be done for.
None of us know what's right for an individual, believe me.
We don't know what's right for the individual, but we do know what we believe.
Up to this point, that they have a good, secure home that is one of economic, with no economic pressure.
But doesn't this mother still have a right to do with the child what she wants?
Not with her life when she abandoned her.
According to the law...
She hasn't abandoned her.
She did.
Not today. Not right now. She abandoned her then, but now she wants to do what's right for that.
Oh, she wants to take it.
All right, well, everyone can fight for a child.
At 2 o'clock or 10 o'clock?
All right. Thank you very, very much. Thank you very, very much for a most stimulating discussion. Thank you.
And that was the discussion we had yesterday here at Second Chance, and as you can see and as you can tell, it was a pretty warm discussion. I'm sure you folks at home must have an opinion on this, and we'd certainly like to hear what it is, so why don't you take just a moment and drop us a postcard, just a postcard, and simply state whether you think Hildy should stay with her present foster parents or whether you think she should be sent to an institution of her real mother's choice. Send your card to Hildy. H-I-L-D-Y. That's Hildy in care of Second Chance. Box 423, Radio City Station, New York 19, New York. Will you do that for me? And then in just a few days' time, we'll be able to announce the results and how you voted on the Hildy issue. And I'll have another Second Chance story and a smile or two for you when we continue after this important reminder.
It's the YMCA for brotherhood. It's the Y for leisure or play. Grown-ups or teenagers, privates or majors, are welcome at the YMCA. It's the Y for lasting friendships. At the Y you can worship and pray. Learn to be self-reliant, understanding, and why that's the good old American way. Go straight to the Y from the station. When you're away from home, they'll give you a smile and a welcome. You'll never feel alone. At the Y you'll find good fellowship, any place in the USA. That's the way of this blessed land. Reach for a friendly hand at the YMCA.
Let's continue now with Second Chance. Before I forget, those folks in our studio audience who contributed to that discussion on Hildy each received a lovely gift, a beautiful crystal decanter of the champagne fragrance Intoxication by Dorsay, creators of the world-famous French perfumes. And now we'd like you to meet our charming guest, Lydia Vasquez, who finally managed to unravel all the red tape that was preventing her from getting a second chance. Now, actually, Lydia, I know that your story is about how you finally got your husband to the altar, but maybe you better start out from the beginning and tell us about it, will you, please?
Johnny, I'm originally from Bremen, Germany. I met my husband there more than 6 years ago.
I bet he was in the service, huh?
Oh, no, he was an American sailor.
Oh, an American sailor, all right. And?
Well, he wanted to buy a wristwatch. And I had a wristwatch, and I got money in return for which I could buy food, which were very short at that time.
What were you doing, Lydia? Were you
working? Went to art school over there.
Oh, an art student, I see. Mm-hmm.
Well, after that, he turned up every evening. See, his ship was there for 14 days.
Aha, just like the Navy to move in, you know. He got his wristwatch, so he knew what time to meet you. Did you start dating him then?
Well, then we went out together, and whenever his ship came back, we went on dates, and finally we were engaged to be married.
But that's when your trouble really started, right, Lydia?
Oh, that's all right. You see, there's endless red tape in Germany. Two people of different nations want to get married.
Uh-huh.
It came in. We started a to the American Union Court building.
In other words,
you're... And today, just to get all our books over, he went back to the ship. Morning, we had a big party. We invited people. And I even had a lovely dress.
Uh-huh.
Except the groom didn't...
And waited and...
I got a message from the morning. And that my husband...
Missed his own wedding. Well, naturally...
Yes, my mother even was in tears.
She didn't think she was going to get rid of you. She was in tears.
Came as soon as he came here.
She didn't think she was going to get rid of you. She was in tears. So you got a letter from him as soon as you got here.
Uh-huh. And soon he did. And he called me that I was 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock, even before the consulate opened anymore. So we had to start that search to the court, and we had married. And my husband... That's right. And he was a ship. Should have left about 15 in the engine room to prevent them, but he had to pay about $50.
Well, at least this time you were married. So did he get back after 2 months?
He took on a different route to the Mediterranean.
Uh-huh.
And he had to get... But now we're here together, and we have 2 children, one little boy, Bobby, and Angela, and we're very happy. We never...
Back to Second Chance in just a moment.
Go. Friends, this is Paul Jones of the National Safety Council. We have a little safety jingle here that we think may save your life.
When you're near a river crossing, look and listen carefully. When you're near a river crossing, do your best to be very, very, very watchful. When give yourself up, take a look. Driver, take a look around and see. Starting sounds. When you're near a red, pay close attention to the wall, attention to the railroad, safe warning when you're nearing.
Let's return now. Hold tight, folks, because right now it's time to make another Mystery Voice phone call and entry card in our Mystery Voice contact pot. The call is coming through already, Bob. That jackpot. Somebody can win this today. In the way of cash, a $100 bank account from the makers of Beacon Wax. And Beacon Wax gives the hardest, longest, and $75 in U.S. savings bonds from Tony, the all-new home permanent that's odor-free, trouble-free, and permanent that's odor-free, trouble-free, and permanent that's odor-free, trouble can chance. Curious American Airlines DC-7. Curious American Airlines DC-7. Curious American Airlines DC-7. Please stay at the world-famous Henry Hudry. Prizes for the home, including things with built-in griddle, top lamp, electric clock alarm, oven light, and with gas or electric, are the products of RCA, famous for TV. And today, in prize, Arthur Murray will give you $100 worth of dancing lessons at your favorite Arthur Murray School of Dancing.
Johnny,
that's yes,
another
Bob.
New prize for the jackpot, too, today.
All right, Bob, here it is from Moto Mower, the world's leading power mower manufacturer, the sensational 21-inch deluxe rotary Moto Mower. It adjusts instantly to cut your lawn high or low. Well, let's find out who's on the phone now. Hello, who is this, please? Jack Clifford, where are you speaking from, Jack? Pitt, well, we've got a good clear connection through to you today, Mr. Clifford. And this entire jackpot can be yours if you can identify this mystery voice.
The first or the 12th could be 50 for fun. But the second and the 8th and the 5th are one. She stands erect both day and night. A clue to help you find my light.
Did you hear those clues, Mr. Clifford?
Yes.
All right, I'm going to give you exactly 60 seconds to think it over, so be ready to give me your answer when we return to Second Chance following this announcement.
Hi, George. What do you got in the little green box?
Oh, a new cottage at Crystal Lake, a motorboat, a private dock.
All in that little box?
Mm-hmm.
What's the gag, son?
Oh, it's no gag. Take a look.
Oh, I get it. United States Savings Bond.
Yep, I saved the smart way to get what I always wanted. And now, well, the dream's coming true.
Yes, dreams can come true if you plan to make it so. Whatever it is you want in the future, security, comfort, pleasure, plan for it now by investing regularly in United States Savings Bonds.
Savings bonds pay 3% interest compounded semi-annually when held to maturity.
The simple, sure way to buy savings bonds is through the payroll savings plan where you work. Each payday, your employer sets aside whatever amount you decide and buys savings bonds for you. It's automatic. It's regular. It's the sure road to a secure future.
Savings bonds are safe, too. If lost or destroyed, Uncle Sam will replace them free.
Join the payroll savings plan today. Protect your future with United States Savings Bonds.
And now, once again, let's rejoin Second Chance. Hello, Mr. Jack Clifford. Oh, this is Johnny Olson of Second Chance. Now, you still have that minute there to think about the mystery voice. But I tell you, before you tell me who you think she is, I'd like to repeat that last clue for you. She stands erect both day and night, a clue to help you find my light. All right, Mr. Clifford of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, for over $700 in cash and prizes, who do you think the mystery voice is?
I think it's the Statue of Liberty.
You think it's the Statue of Liberty? Well, no...
I want to explain, Mr. Clifford, this is a living person. It's a real person. This is the person's voice recorded. It's not about somebody. Would you like to make another guess at it?
Who do you think, then?
Vivian Lee, the actress? Oh, I'm sorry, that's not the answer we're looking for. But I tell you what you'll be looking for, and that's a gleaming 8-cup automatic Miramatic coffee percolator that makes a delicious cup of coffee, keeps you drinking hot for hours. And thanks for sending in your card, Miss Clifford. Goodbye. Well, folks, that means our jackpot continues to grow and grow and grow, and tomorrow I'll be adding another valuable gift, the gift of a lifetime, a world-famous Helbro's wristwatch. The watch of celebrities with lifetime jewels and unbreakable mainsprings. And to be eligible for our jackpot, do like Mr. Clifford did. Send me your name and phone number on a postcard. The address is Second Chance, Box 423, Radio City Station, New York 19, New York. Now, here's a man with a message. Some stations break away here for an announcement, and during this minute, I'd like to find out who you folks in our studio audience think the famous mystery second chancer is. Let's have some guesses out here, shall we? Who do you think it is? Who?
Rita Hayworth.
That's a good try. Who do you think? Allie, who? Helen Keller. All right, lady over. Who's that? Claudette Colbert, the actress? Lillian Roth?
Beth Morrison.
A lot of other guesses. Shout them right out. Doris Day, the singer. Well, say, these were some good guesses today, but, you know, I can't tell you if you're right or wrong. Who do you think it is, sir?
Lola,
who?
Kalidakis.
Lola. Yeah, that's good enough for us. Yes, indeed. I can't tell you if you're right or wrong, though, because, as you know, this contest is only for the home listeners. But if you want a chance to be selected for a phone call, all you have to do is just take a little bit of time and get in your name and your phone number to us here in New York City. Well, it's just a moment left here, folks, to thank you for tuning in today on our Second Chance program. I hope you enjoyed our stories, and don't forget, I'm especially interested in your opinions concerning Hildy, the little girl from Boston that had our studio audience up in arms over her future. Now, if you disagreed with what you heard in today's discussion about Hildy, or if you'd like to express your own thoughts concerning the child, please send them along to Hildy, care of Second Chance, Box 423, Radio City Station, New York 19, New York, because we're very interested to know how you feel about it. So send us that card today. And now, until we meet with you on Second Chance tomorrow, Johnny Olson saying thank you, transcribing a good goodbye until tomorrow.
Hear the news with Kenneth Banghart today over most NBC radio stations.